to the Old Testament, to Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 26. Be reading from that shortly. Leviticus 26. So many things happened last Sunday that I forgot to mention some other things that had transpired the weekend before, or the couple of days before. One was the gathering that the youth had here at the building that Friday night, the sleepover, or the lack thereof, sleep. Paul and Maureen had the teams in and had 22 or 23 here. I support them in that endeavor. I'm glad that they had that many, particularly on the first time. And I'm also pleased to see, I'm sure you are too, we walked in this morning, the beautiful painting that John has done there and on the walls and around the windows is tremendous, the work, that the talent that John has, and we appreciate what he's done for that. No, last Sunday, the baptism of Rob and Nikki was a highlight. Tremendous day, and I couldn't help but recall when the baptism was complete on each one of the men, that the applause that occurred, the amens that were said, but the people that was applauded. And I remember several years ago at Northside when I was speaking there, one of the families that had left there, Tommy and Scott Gilbert, had moved from Spokane and went to New Mexico. And in the area where they moved to was a country church. And every congregation, per se, is different than another congregation. We have our formats that we follow, and sometimes we're pretty close to it, sometimes we're not. But nonetheless, Tommy wrote me, and she said, I'll tell you what happened. Said, we was at church, been there about 3 or 4 weeks, and had baptism. And said, when the baptism was complete, Ted, their little son, who was about 10, immediately began to applaud, and he was the only one doing it. And he kind of got embarrassed, and he looked at Tommy and asked her, said, aren't these people happy that someone was baptized? And I commend you for your willingness to support Nikki and Rob last week in their baptism. It's an important time in their life, and it's nice to know that this congregation will support them in that endeavor. You know, God gives us permission to do what we want to do. We're not bound. We don't have to do things. I know there are sometimes, particularly in the military, you have no choice. You have to do what the top sergeants or the generals or the colonels or whatever. You have to do what they say or you're in hot water. But God gives us permission, if you please, to make a decision to do what we want to do. I commend our visitors, particularly those from Texas, from Divine, worship at Natalia. Our priestess north of there for a while at Lytle. Divine is the big city of Natalia, which is south of Natalia. But we're glad to have a visitor today and from Spokane as well. But when God gives us permission to do things, I recall a guy that was a preacher in Burkmanette, Texas, Dan Baker. And Dad tells a story about one time his daughter Lisa came home from school, and it was about this time of the year, school's about to be out, and Lisa was in the fourth grade, and she said, Dad, you know, at the elementary school where we are, we have a rabbit that we transport from one class to the other back and forth, and obviously, of course, his name was Peter, but said, the school has decided that it'd be all right if Peter went home with one of the students for the summer, and said, all we got to do is take permission slip from our parents to bring Peter home. There's going to be a drawing. And Dan said he thought about this for a moment. He said, well, I know from being a member of PTA that there's over 450 students in that student body. Shouldn't be any problem. So he gave Lisa the permission slip. And the school's, oh, sure enough, here she came. You're ahead of me, huh? Here came Lisa with the rabbit. He said, Lisa, I don't understand. Said, I thought surely with 450 students there, there'd be more people that maybe, you know, someone else might get the rabbit. She said, yeah, but Dad, I was the only one that had a permission slip. So with that said, there are times that God gives us permission to do things that we have a choice, we have an option of whether or not we're going to do it. We have permission to do what we want to do. Leviticus 26, beginning in verse 3. If you walk in my statute and keep my commandments, One translation says, if you are careful to keep my commandments so as to carry them out, then I will give you rain in their seasons. You know, in this particular country, it's not uncommon to drive down the highways, particularly some of the back roads, and see these giant sprinkling systems out in the field, putting out thousands of gallons of water, just sweeping the entire hundreds of acres. These people didn't have this. They had to depend upon rain for their crops. So God says, I will send you rain, because that's very, very, very important for them to have the rain. He said, I'll give you rain in the seasons so that the land will yield its produce and the trees of the field will bear their fruit. Indeed, your threshing will last for you until the grape gathering, and grape gathering will last until sowing. You see what God is saying here? From the time you begin to eat your harvest, it's going to last and last and last. They couldn't run down the Safeway and buy what they wanted on the spur of the moment. Yesterday afternoon, I asked Christine, I said, hey, by the way, would you run and get some milk for us? We're out. It's just a simple matter of driving up a couple of blocks and getting a gallon or two of milk and coming back home. They couldn't do that. Whatever food they ate, they had to prepare months or years in advance to make sure they would have enough as the winter approached. And God tells them, your gathering, your harvest will last until you start to sow again. You will eat your food to the full and live secure in your land. I also grant peace in the land. And in 1 and 2 Kings, when you read that, in the springtime, when it was customary for the kings to go to war or to go to battle, happened every spring. All the nations get up and they go fight each other. But God says here to them, I'll give you peace in your land. You won't have to worry about this fighting that goes on. You may lie down with no one making you tremble. I shall also eliminate harmful beasts from the land, and no sword will pass through your land. But you will chase your enemies, and they will fall before you by the sword. Verse 8. 5 of you will chase 100, and 100 of you will chase 10,000, and your enemies will fall before you by the sword. Let's pray together. Father, today we read what you have said to your people, which also means us. What you want them to do, what you wanted them to do, what you want us to do, how you want us to be. Even, Father, to make the point that very, very small number won't be afraid of a large number. And I pray, Father, as we study this today, we realize that if we will follow your commandments carefully, that you'll be with us and we will have no fear of anything. We pray in your son's name. Amen. 5 of you will chase 100. As I think about this, if we break this down, I look out in the audience today, pick 2 people that you want to. Just any 2 people out of this audience. I don't care. In your mind, pick out anyone. It might be a young person. It might be an older person. It might be a guy or a gal. A teenager, whatever, 2 people you want to pick in your mind. Because I use 2 for this fact. If 5 will chase 100, then 2 would equate to about how many will chase this group that's in here today in this building. Can you imagine 2 people, any 2 in here, rising up and the rest of us being afraid of those 2? That 2 people, right here, Dorothy and Bill, chasing us and us running in fear from them? I can't imagine that. Because someone will stand up and say, you can't do this. But God says, 5 of you will chase 100. And then he goes even farther and he says, 100 of you will chase 10,000. You see what God is saying here? If you keep my commandments carefully, if you do what I tell you to do, I and you will be the majority. We can take on anybody in the world. Me and God make a majority. You and God make a majority. And if 20 will be chased, or 50, can be chased. But if we come down to the ratio of five of you would chase 100, that's a ratio of 20 to 1. That means one person can take on, and God can take on 20 people without any problem. That means 250 can take on the city of 2,500 can take on the city of Spokane. 250,000 people, a quarter of a million people, 2,500 people in God can take on that entire, that's too many to grasp. So I bring it down to 100 will chase 10,000. That's a ratio of 1 to 100. That's a half of a person taking care of everybody in this building. That's like maybe a four-year-old chasing all of us, and all of us running in fear of what God or that individual might do to us. And as we look at this, let's go ahead and read some more in verse 9 through 13. Remember, if you walk in my statute and keep my commandments, so I will turn toward you and make you fruitful and multiply you, and I will confirm my covenant with you. You will eat the old supply and clear out the old because of the new. Moreover, I will make my dwelling among you, and my soul will not reject you. I will also walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt so that you would not be their slaves, and I broke the bars of your yoke and made you walk erect. You know what it means to walk erect, to be proud, to have pride in yourself? Particularly if you have ever had the thought of being a slave, that you are humbled. You have to do what you're told to do. You have to do when you're told to do it. And not many times do you have a case of a young private in the military standing up and telling the old sergeant, I ain't going to do that. He might say it one time, but then he's going to be in hot water. Yet one time I recall their younger son when he went into the military and he was down in basic in San Antonio, and he got in hot water because when he came out of the dining hall, he didn't dig his hat on quite quick enough that this one TI, as they're called, called him off to the side, stood him at a brace, and was just chewing him out, which is typical. And Jason began to laugh and laughed. And their voice said, what are you laughing about, son? Don't you know you're in hot water? And Jason, he is 6'6", 6'7", and he looked down at this guy. He said, you taught me in Bible class when I was in the sixth grade. What can the guy say? He looked at him. He said, Jason, he said, yes, sir. He said, getting power, getting rank. After that, we found out that Dave would go by and get Jason out of basic and take him home to eat with him, which is strictly something that normally wasn't done. But a private don't stand up and look at a commander or a general in the eye and say, I'm not going to do that. But God says, if you do what I tell you to do, if you follow my commandments, I'll give you all these blessings. And folks, God is telling us the same thing. He said, if you do what you know to do, if you do the things that I ask you to do, I'm going to bless you more than you can imagine. If you people, the church at Colbert, will do what you know to do, if we do what we need to do, God's going to bless us in that. But then he goes through the rest of the chapter, from verse 14 on through 39. I'm not going to read that. But if you get a chance, you get home today, sit down and read that and see what God says he's going to do if we do not follow his commandments. And it's bad. He begins to say there'll be no rain, there'll be no food, and goes on and on. And then he says, and then if that doesn't work, then I'll do this. And then he comes along and says, if that doesn't work, then I'll increase it sevenfold, and then I'll do this. And it gets worse and worse and worse. Until it comes to the point, he finally says, and you will eat your own kids. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? And you read about this in Deuteronomy, where two mothers in a famine, and they had decided, they agreed, we'll eat our son today, and tomorrow we'll eat your son. And then the next thing you know, the king is going by, and the woman, one of the mothers, is wailing and crying and complaining. He said, what is wrong? She said, oh, help us. What happened? Yesterday, she said, we boiled my son and ate him. And today, when it came time to boil her son, she's hit him. Can't find him. Can you visualize eating your own son, your own kid, to boil your child and eat it? That's gross. Now, I suppose there might be some times you might want to kill him, figuratively speaking. But that doesn't change the fact that I don't think anyone in their right mind would even ever consider eating their own child. But that's what God says is going to happen to these people that do not follow his commandments. That's bad. That's terrible. Well, what is his commandments? Very simple. His commandments are simple. To follow them is not simple. His commandment is, do what I say. Now, we find that, and we found that, those of you who have been in the military, how many times we heard, do as I say, don't do as I do. And today, as we pick up the news, we read about and hear about people being criminal charges put against them for killing civilians. Charges being levied against Marines because they massacred several dozen people in a village. Kind of like it was Mae Lee in Vietnam, where one lieutenant was charged with going in and wiping out the entire village. The same charge has been levied today. Can you imagine God saying, go ahead and do that? Can you visualize God saying, wipe out the church in Colbert because they're not following my commandments? That's a terrible thing to think. So as we think about this, God says, if you follow my commandments, on a ratio of 1 to 20, I'm going to be with you. On a ratio of 1 to 100, one person and God can take out 100 people if we follow his commandments. His commandments are simple. Following them is not easy. Oh, we know what we're supposed to do, and if I ask you to make a list today, what should you do as a Christian? I dare to say that some of you have some things on your list that others wouldn't have, and vice versa. But if we compiled all those things, it's terrifying what we should be doing that we're not. But what is sad about it, those are some things we should be doing that we're not doing that we could do. And we elect or make a decision to not do it. I want to encourage us today to evaluate our own life. Evaluate whether or not we would be one of those 5 to chase 100, or we would be one of those where we would be one ratio of 1 to 100 to chase the enemies. We know who the enemy is. We know it's Satan. But do we fight him with the backing of God? Or will we just simply turn our back and walk away and say, it's too much for me to handle? 5 of you would chase 100. 100 of you would chase 10,000. That's the power that God puts behind us as Christians. If we follow his commandment. It's just like in the bulletin this week. How do you know that we're doing what God wants us to do? I think very simple, as the bulletin states, one article there, talking about choosing the right church. How do I know I'm in the right church? How do we know that this is the right congregation? Simply to go back and read, where did the church start? Does it have a man's name to it? And then it's certainly in the church that Christ died for, if it has a man's name. The church that Christ died for certainly should carry his name. I know that which I do, have a will, a last will and testament, my name on that will signifies what I want done with my property when I die. Jesus died with the knowledge and the demand and the commandment, as we read this morning, one of the things in John that Jesus said, this is my commandment, that you love one another. How are you doing on that? How are we doing? Or do we have heartburn with other people? If you follow my commandments, I will multiply your blessings. Now, Jesus died for us. And in Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews in chapter 7, and also in chapter 8, but particularly in 7:22, it says that a new covenant was established. What's new? The fact that if there had been perfection in the old covenant, they would not have been the need for a new covenant. So when a covenant is established, it's established because someone has died, or a last will and testament. Someone has to die for that will to be enforced or to be read or acted on. And when that said in Hebrews 7 and Hebrews 8, the new covenant was established because the old covenant was not, quote, perfect. So with the new covenant that has been established, one of the things is to obey Jesus. One of the things is to do what Jesus told us to do, and that's to follow him, to work in his church. So I want to ask you today, would you be part of the group that could chase 100? Would you be in your life, if your life is such that you'd be part of a group that would chase 10,000 or 100,000? Is your life in Christ such that you can honestly say, I and God am not afraid? I want to ask you to evaluate that today. With that said, as we normally do, we have an opportunity at this time to say, hey, I want some prayers, maybe like last week, I want to be a Christian. But if you need some strength, if you have some desires you want us to pray about or pray with you or pray for you, now's the time to let it be known. Dale selected a song. I want to ask you to sing that. Stand and sing that. And if you have a need at all that we can help you with, respond and let us know at the time. Let's stand together and sing.